It's 38 minutes after the hour on a marvelous Monday. This is Sirius 161.
Yeah, we like to laugh around here, and our next guest is going to help us do that. She's, among other things, a freelance writer, newspaper columnist. She's an occupational therapist. She's written a couple of books called The Distant Shore and Billowing Sails. They're historical novels for young adults. She is the mother of two, and she says she has a husband who will never grow up. Although I met Chuck, I think he's going to do just fine. But her newest book is the one that we're going to talk about this morning. It's really kind of funny. It's called Mom Needs Chocolate, Hugs, Humor, and Hope for Surviving Motherhood. Please welcome its author, Deborah Cody. Hey, Deb.
Good morning.
I tell you, you've got some funny stuff in here. Where did you find the humor?
Well, you have to look for it.
Sometimes, yeah, you really do.
That's been my experience, and especially for moms, as they check out the joy of the Lord on the doorstep without meaning to, because they are stuck in the muck of what I call the joy-sucking dully funks of life.
And, oh, boy, you make it sound so appealing.
Well, the stress of motherhood and all the responsibilities sometimes makes us lose touch with that energy that we need from the Lord.
I like, you reference God, you refer to him as the maker of heaven and mirth.
That's right. Creator of aardvark, spoonbill, platypuses, and cowlicks.
Well, I think God's got a sense of humor. Witness what's happening. He must have a sense of humor.
Let's hope so, yes.
I love the story about your little boy when you're shopping and the mannequin.
Yeah.
Can you just tell us a short version of that?
Sure. That's just to communicate. Moms all have their own stories about these terrible things that happen with kids. But my whole purpose of the book is to bring spiritual matters and the scripture to life. And that story was when my little guy, who was a little less than two, and we were shopping in the mall, and we went in a very expensive boutique, which was very foreign to me because I was a Kmart shopper. And we went in there to look for a specific thing, and he got lost. And I was looking everywhere, under, around, cruising everywhere, looking for him, and the store manager descended upon me, Miss Hightower, I call her in the book, and she's, you know, trying to help me find whatever it is I'm looking for on the floor, on my hands and knees, looking through my hair hanging over my face. And finally, we hear this crowd laughing at the front window there, and my little guy Matthew had somehow squeezed through this little bitty opening in the window of the store, and he was sitting on the lap of a mannequin who was sitting on the floor with her hands above her head in this frozen festivity thing with all these pantyhose stuck to her fingers up to the ceiling, and he would not come out, and I couldn't reach him, and I'm flailing around, and I can't get him. I finally grab the toe of a sneaker, and I'm hauling him in little by little by little, and he brings the mannequin with him all the way across the room, and he pops off her arm, and when I finally get him out, and of course, the crowd is just roaring, and I get him out, and he, you know, I have to hand this plastic appendage to this Miss Hightower, who's like, just absolutely appalled.
The only one not laughing.
Oh, and then we just kind of get away in a stroller, and I know that the mall police are going to be after us any second, and I'm so angry at Matthew, and I say, you bad, bad boy. And then I realize, golly, I'm no different, you know, and I realize I have embarrassed my Heavenly Father that very same day by my behavior, my cutting off that driver in traffic, my bad words with my husband over breakfast, pocketing that extra dollar, you know, that I got from the clerk, and that God doesn't view me as bad Debbie, but he views me as just someone in need of forgiveness.
Yeah.
So I was able then to get on my hands and knees and look Matthew in the eyes and say, Mommy made a mistake, baby. Yeah. You're not bad. You're just in need of forgiveness, just like me, and Papa God forgives us, and we forgive each other.
I love that you refer to Miss Hightower. Name changed to protect the snooty.
Yeah.
You know, we've all met a Miss Hightower in the store sooner or later.
Yeah.
Well, tell us about the time your husband Chuck took you dancing. I thought that was funny because he's a runner.
Oh, he's a goofy he's a guy. My little buddy, husband Chuck. Yes, he is not a dancer. He was he's a sportsman. So yeah. I'm a boogie-holic, I call it. I have a chapter about that in the book. And I've had a lot of people respond to me and say, I'm another boogie-holic too, where you just can't stop yourself when music's playing, you're tapping and you're going. And bless his heart, he felt for me, but he couldn't help that. He couldn't take me dancing. So finally, on one of our, I think it was our 18th anniversary, he surprised me and took me on his dinner boat cruise. And they got time for the dancing, and I thought, well, we're just going to sit here again. But he, good sport that he is, took me out to the floor, and he just started running, jogging in place to the music. And the faster the music played, the faster he ran. And it was just a magical evening. He ended up running a marathon, and I had a wonderful time.
And no one probably noticed that he wasn't dancing
exactly
in a more acceptable way.
Yes, it works for me.
Well, the title, Mom Needs Chocolate, that says it all. We love chocolate around here.
Preach it, girl.
Yeah, yeah. So tell us how chocolate calms you down.
Well, I think we look to chocolate for different reasons. Most of the time, it's for comfort or for stimulation or just that little pick-me-up during the day. And I think chocolate's not essential to life as we know it, but it sure helps. And, you know, I think that we can find those very same things from Papa God if we look to him for that, but we just don't think about it when we're stuck in the muck of everyday stress. And that's what Mom Needs Chocolate is all about, to try to point us in that direction and to let us realize that we can get those same things that we love to get from chocolate.
Your book, it's important to encourage other people, and that's what your book really does. It makes us laugh at ourselves. It makes us laugh at our foibles. It makes us laugh at the funny situations we get ourselves into. So how do you encourage people through laughter?
Well, my mantra is God, Godiva, and girlfriends. What more do we need?
The three G's.
Exactly.
Well, but this goes across the sexes. I was reading passages to my husband because I was rolling on the floor and he wanted to know what was so funny. When the little Easter chick starts following you around
Easter
and grows.
Peepers.
Yeah. Tell us that story.
Yeah, that was my neighbor. We had just moved into our house, and my neighbor, who didn't have any children, brought over this sweet little downy Easter chick, and I'm like horrified because we already have like 9 pets and several cats among those. And I said, oh no, this is not going to work here. She said, oh, don't worry about it. They don't last very long. Just let the kids play with it until nature takes its course. And, you know, and I'm like, oh, but that didn't happen because he was so cute. Mr. Peepers followed me all around the house, and he imprinted with me, and he became my little bitty buddy. And he would follow me, sit in my lap, watch TV, walk right in the shower behind me, and I had this big, he grew into this big rooster, turned out to be the largest breed in the Southeast. He was about knee high. And, you know, I just love Mr. Peepers. I even took him to work once, which was not a good idea, in the hospital that I worked at as an occupational therapist. But anyway, and so finally he got so big, he outgrew his sleeping accommodations, which was 2 laundry baskets wired together. And his head was hitting the top, and he couldn't move, and he started crowing at dawn, which was not real popular in my neighborhood. So I ended up having to give him to a farmer who promised that he would not do the Kentucky Fried route.
Yeah, right.
You know, but it was so sad when I dropped him off and we had to buckle him in his little seatbelt and drive him out to the country.
Seatbelt.
Yeah, he's my little buddy. And, you know, and then as we dropped him off there, he wouldn't get behind. He kept behind me. He wouldn't come out. And Chuck kept saying, get in the car and let's go. And so finally, I was tearful. I got in the car and we're driving down this little dirt road, and I look behind me and Mr. Peepers is running down the road after
us.
We're talking with Deb Cody, who wrote the book Mom Needs Chocolate, and it's 14 minutes to the top of the hour. We all parents have been here, though. You know, you've got a kid playing sports, and, you know, suddenly you turn from mild-mannered person to this, you know, the super fanged, you know, sports nut. You know, tell us some of those experiences.
Well, that is so true, and I'm the worst offender, and my husband and I, both of our kids were sports kids. My daughter was basketball, played in high school and college, and my son was baseball, and, there's no meaner person. I think Satan knows that because he takes advantage of us when we're out there and our emotions are all in tied up into what our children are doing. And so that chapter is just a little bit of tips on how to kind of, we still didn't do a very good job of it, but how to control that and to be a witness out there when our kids are in sports, because it is so hard. Things like tapping, you know, agree ahead of time what your little cues will be, and when one of you starts to get a little out of control, to hum this little light of mine, or, you know, tapping on the shoulder and just kind of giving the eye, you know, or go up to the concession stand and have a chocolate break. You know, just remove yourself from the premises and regroup and realize I am a witness everywhere I go. And people here are going to see Christ through me, and they will either be attracted to him or repelled. Which will it be? My choice.
You say in the sports arena, with our fangs exposed, it's hard to tell the difference between the Christians and the lions.
Yes.
But, you know, as funny as parts of the book are, you also had some tragedy in your life.
Oh, yes.
But maybe that's why you're able to see the humor.
Well, I think so. I try to be real in Mom Needs Chocolate, and I want to connect with readers where they are. And we did go through a series of 6 miscarriages, which took me through a 2-year depression that was very, very tough to go through. And I share that in the book very candidly, and I even give some tips on a lot of women deal with depression in one form or another, and maybe how they can help and how they can stay in the Word and obey. Even the obedience is the hard part, because you do not want to be with God. You don't want to pray. You don't want to go to church. You don't want to have anything to do with Him because of the hurt and the pain that's going on inside you. But I found, and there I share some scripture in there, the Scream at God Psalms, that really helped me, that David felt those very same things, and that if we can pray, use those Psalms as our prayers, it keeps that channel open, and God is able to heal us that way.
You know, and little things happen, like your daughter goes next door and they're watching the movie of Dirty Dancing, and yes. You didn't really like that. You know, and that those are some of the things that parents run into. Suddenly, well, you know, how do I deal with this?
Yes, exactly. And just trying to keep the Lord in those decisions that we make on an everyday basis, and, you know, to just turn our hearts toward Him and off ourselves.
Do you ever learn to like squash casserole?
Oh, no!
We ought to try Zelda's, my mother-in-law. She makes a great squash guy. When I read that, I think, oh, you got to try Zelda's. I'll try to get some of that over to you, and you may change your opinion about squash casserole.
Well, and you had these dreams that didn't turn out the way that you thought. You wanted to be a missionary, you wanted to do certain things, and you weren't really studying to become a writer, but now you're a very successful one. Loved how you answered the woman at your high school reunion.
Yes, yes. Well, you know, life doesn't always turn out the way we think it's going to, and it's neat how God actually uses that in our lives. And I never thought I would be a writer, never, ever, ever. I was an avid reader when I was a child. I wasn't even the best English student. I think my high school English teachers would die if they knew that
they would be very proud.
But, you know, God points us in directions, and we just walk through those open doors.
Hey, this is a fun book, Mom Needs Chocolate. Also, check out Debbie's website. It's Deborah Cody, and Deborah does not have an H on the end, DeborahCody.com.
And the snotty woman who wasn't quite sure you're with a writer, probably related to Mrs. Hightower, my guess. Never can tell. This is the morning. We'll be right back.